अरे गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारे, यशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना, यमुना तीरावन चारे, जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारे, जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारे, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम द फर्स्ट कैंटो 17 चैप्टर टाइटल्ड पनिशमेंट एंड रिवॉर्ड ऑफ कली, टेक्स्ट नंबर 16। राज्ञो हि परमो धर्मः स्वधर्मस्तानुपालनम् शासतोऽन्यान्यथा शास्त्रान् अनापद्युत्पतानिह। राज्ञो हि परमो धर्मः स्वधर्मस्तानुपालनम् शासतोऽन्यान्यथा शास्त्रम् अनापद्युत्पतानिह। राज्ञो हि परमो धर्मः स्वधर्मस्तानुपालनम् शासतोऽन्यान्यथा शास्त्रम् अनापद्युत्पतानिह। आज्ञो हि परमो धर्मः स्वधर्मस्तानुपालनम् शासतोऽन्यान्यथाशास्त्रम् अनापद्युत्पतानिह। माताजी, वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग, राज्ञः ऑफ द किंग और द एग्जीक्यूटिव हेड, ही सर्टनली परमः सुप्रीम, धर्मः occupational duty, swadharmasta, one who is faithful to his prescribed duty, anupalanam, giving protection always, శాసతః వైల్ రూలింగ్ అన్యాన్ అదర్స్ యథా అకార్డింగ్ టు శాస్త్రం రూలింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద స్క్రిప్చర్స్ అనాపది వితౌట్ డేంజర్ ఉత్పతాన్ పర్సన్స్ గోయింగ్ అస్ట్రే ఇహ యాజ్ అ మ్యాటర్ ఆఫ్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శిల ప్రభుపాద్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ The supreme duty of the ruling king is to give all protection to law-abiding persons and to chastise those who stray from the ordinances of the scriptures in ordinary times when there is no emergency. Purport. In the scriptures, there is a mention of apad dharma or occupational duty at times of extraordinary happenings. It is said that sometimes the great sage Vishwamitra had to live on the flesh of dogs in some extraordinary dangerous position. In cases of emergency, one may be allowed to live on the flesh of animals of all description, but that does not mean that there should be regular slaughterhouses to feed the animal eaters and that this system should be encouraged by the state. No one should try to live on flesh in ordinary times simply for the sake of the palate. If anyone does so, the king or the executive head should punish him for gross enjoyment. There are regular scriptural injunctions for different persons engaged in different occupational duties, and one who follows them is called swadharmastha or faithful in one's prescribed duties. In the Bhagavad Gita 18:48, it is advised that one should not give up his occupational prescribed duties even if they are not always flawless. Such swadharma might be violated in the cases of emergency if one is forced by circumstances, but they cannot be violated in ordinary times. The state executive head is to see that such a swadharma is not changed by the follower, whatever it may be, and he should give all protection to the follower of swadharma. The violator is subject to punishment in terms of the shastra, and the duty of the king is to see that everyone strictly follows his occupational duty as prescribed in the scripture. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురోన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతాం సహగణా రఘునాథాన్వితం తాం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావదూతం పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణా లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ So, in this verse, the role of a leader or a king has been mentioned. Swadharmastha anupalanam. In order to ensure that persons practice their religious duties according to their qualification. So, throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes about various different types of kings, this particular emphasis always keeps repeating. The role of a leader or a king, one of the very important roles is to ensure that the subjects are encouraged to practice according to their qualification. And at the same time, there must be encouragement to raise their qualification. Both are important. Because when the subjects are encouraged to act according to what they are qualified for, it gives a lot of satisfaction. But at the same time, they are not expected to remain stagnant at their own positions when there is scope for raising their qualifications. So if you see throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, especially if you see in the description of the rule of Ambarish Maharaj, he did both. He did the role of facilitating practice according to their qualification. When most people are said to be on the platform of karma, they should be encouraged to practice their varnashrama duties very carefully. So Ambarish Maharaj used to visibly perform his own kingly duties properly, so that the citizens who look up to him get inspired to follow their duties according to their varna and ashrama. But at the same time, Ambarish Maharaj had facilitated lot of harikatha facilities throughout. So every day in the evening, after their occupational duties are over, the people used to get lot of opportunities to come together and hear Krishna Katha spoken by Vaishnavas. Okay, so that way gradually they become qualified for a higher qualification. So that way both were facilitated. Facilitation to practice according to their current qualification, and facilitation to raise their qualification whenever there is a scope for that. So, because this whole section is going to speak, this is going to talk about the conversation between Parikshit Maharaj and Dharma, the bull. So, and this purport also talks about Varnashrama Dharma. So, we will touch on this topic a little bit. So, the need for Varnashram for those not practicing bhakti is very clear, and you know, there is no doubt about it. What is little bit dicey and unclear is what is the role of Varnashram in the practice of bhakti for practicing devotees. And the acharyas seem to present slightly different opinions, at least from a first sight, looks little ambiguous. And really so, you know, because both are presented. You know, while the Purvacharyas seem to be very clear, the later Acharyas seem to indicate there is a need. So we will see, is there a scope of reconciling this? First we will see where the Acharyas have mentioned the need for Varnashram for practicing devotees, not for outsiders, for practicing devotees. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in many of his writings, at least some of his writings, he has indicated this. In his book Bhaktialoka, when he talks about the 6 favorable and 6 unfavorable items for practice of bhakti according to Nectar of Instruction, verse 2 and 3. In the last essay on Sadhu Vritti, following in the footsteps of the previous Acharyas, he mentions the importance of following Varnashram Dharma till one reaches the stage of Bhava for devotees. Right? So, he writes, there is a need for Varnashram Dharma while a human remains in the stage of piety and impiety that are born of his nature. The main purpose of Varnashram Dharma is this. By gradually following Varnashram Dharma, a human being will become eligible to perform devotional service. Of course, this does not mean that through practice of Varnashram Dharma, one automatically gets qualification for bhakti. What it means is, while practicing Varnashram Dharma, one maintains oneself in a sinless life. Thereby, when a devotee comes and touches that jiva, then he may very quickly take up to devotional service, right? So then he says, but in Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes here, but in the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks, what is the highest dharma? And Ramananda Rai initially said, Varnashrama. Varnashrama acharavata purushena parappuman, Vishnur aradhyate panta nanyat tattosha karanam. There is no better means of pleasing the Lord than by performing one's Varnashram and then worshipping the Supreme Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Eho Bahya. He rejected it. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a purport to this. So what was the meaning of this Eho Bahya as presented by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So he means, in the words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is reading the inner heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, O Ramananda, Varnashrama Dharma is meant to regulate the gross and subtle bodies. If someone is satisfied only in that, without engaging in devotional service of Krishna, then what is the gain? Therefore, although the process of Varnashram is the only means of purification for a conditioned soul, still it is external. So, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, from this, one should not conclude that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has ordered us to discard Varnashram, Varnashrama Dharma. If that would have been the case, then he would not have instructed all living entities through his pastimes of completely following the orders of Grihastha and Sannyas. As long as one has a material body, the system of Varnashram Dharma must be followed. But, here is what he says, but it should remain under the full control and domination of bhakti. So now what that means needs to be discussed. So he says, yes, one should follow the Varnashram Dharma as long as one has a material body, but it should remain under the full control and domination of bhakti. When one's supreme occupational duty is matured and one achieves his goal, then the process is gradually neglected. So which means, here Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur seems to suggest that Varnashram Dharma has to be followed till one reaches the stage of bhava and prema. And he says, this kind of eternal Varnashram Dharma is always to be followed. It is often useful for devotional service, he says. Often useful for devotional service, right? So, he doesn't say it is mandatory, but definitely he does say that it is useful, right? And Srila Prabhupada also, various places, I will just, in order to not make the session voluminous, you know, proof quoting session, I will just quote one. Of course, there are many quotes. In the 7th canto, 14th chapter, 10th verse purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about that how at the present moment, everyone is engaged in technological advancement, which is described in Bhagavad Gita as Ugra Karma. This Ugra Karma is the cause of agitation of the mind, he says. So men are involved in all kinds of sinful activities and becoming degraded by opening slaughterhouses, breweries, etc. In all of these activities, of course, householders are involved, and therefore it is advised here with the use of the word api that even though one is a householder, one should not engage in severe hardships. One's means of livelihood should be extremely simple. And for those who are not grihasthas, the brahmacharis, vanaprasthas and sannyasis, they don't have to do anything but strive for advancement in spiritual life. This means that 3/4 of the entire population should stop sense gratification and simply be engaged in advancement in Krishna consciousness. Only 1/4 grihastha should be grihastha, and that should be according to the laws of restricted sense gratification. So then he says, the grihasthas, vanaprasthas, brahmacharis and sannyasis should endeavor together with their total energy to become Krishna conscious. This type of civilization is called Daiva Varnashram, he says. One of the objectives of the Krishna consciousness movement is to establish this Daiva Varnashram, but not to encourage so-called Varnashram without scientifically organized endeavor by human society. So in this and many other quotes, Srila Prabhupada very clearly seems to indicate that Varnashram is needed, and even for devotees, right? But having said that, it's not that it is very straightforward. There are quotations for the opposite opinion also, where there is ample proofs for indicating that Varnashram is not needed for practitioners of bhakti, even at the stage of sadhana. Right? Right from Srila Rupa Goswami's. So that is why this particular topic, you know, it's an evergreen topic along with the Jiva fall down topic. You know, there is always market for it, you know. So like, for example, if in ILS, if in 6 out of 6, everywhere the same topic is going, there will still be full attendance everywhere, right? So these are like evergreen topics, because wherever there is some source of ambiguous, at least perceived ambiguousness, it incites the curiosity of devotees, you know. Because whatever is very clear, we have heard it so many times. So whatever is not clear, we want clarity. Not that if it would help our devotional service significantly, that's another question. But nevertheless, where there is lack of clarity, we want clarity for sure. So, here, Srila Rupa Goswami, again and again, in the section on Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti only, 3 times he very emphatically mentions that there is no need for Varnashram for practice of Bhakti. So, he says, Ananushtanato dosho bhakti anganam prajayate, na karmanam akaranat esha bhakti adhikarinaha. Nishiddha acharato daivat prayaschittam tu na uchitam, iti Vaishnava shastranam rahasyam tadvidam matam. He says, Ananushtanato dosho bhakti anganam prajayate. If someone does not perform the limbs of bhakti, if a devotee does not perform the limbs of bhakti, a bhakti adhikari, then it is dosha. Dosha prajayate. It leads to fault. Na karmanam akaranat. But it is not a fault if he does not perform the duties of varna and ashrama. And then, he says, iti Vaishnava Shastranam Rahasyam Tadvidam Matam. This is the opinion of those who have understood the secret of Vaishnava Shastras. Right? And then, he quotes many, many verses to substantiate this point from Bhagavatam and from other scriptures. So, one verse from Padma Puran says, Mat karma kurvatam pumsam kriya lopo bhaved yadi tesham karmani kurvanti tisraha kotyo maharshayaha. Meaning, if a person, mat karma kurvatam pumsam, a person who is doing my work, which means one who is engaged in devotional service, kriya lopo bhaved, if he fails to execute the karmic duties, tisraha kotyo maharshayah tesham karmani kurvanti. 30 million exalted sages will carry out those commitments on his behalf. This is a quotation from Padma Puran, right? Like that, there are so many other verses. And from Bhagavatam, again, Srila Rupa Goswami quotes this verse. Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata matkata shravanadavva shraddha yavanna jayate. He says, under 2 circumstances, one is allowed to give up the practice of varna and ashrama duties. So he says, na nirvidyeta, if he has developed detachment by practice of karma, by practice of nishkama karma, when the heart becomes purified, then he can give it up. Or, matkata shravanadavva shraddha, if he has developed faith in hearing the subject matters of Krishna, then he can give up. So he is defining a very basic qualification for devotees, shraddha, adav shraddha. So he says there is no need. Okay. And then so many other verses, you all know this. Tyaktva sadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajan apakvo atapatet tato yadi yatrakva vabhadram abudam ushakim. So Narada Muni is telling, Vyasadev, that if one, having given up his Varnashram duties, performs bhakti, what does he lose? He does not lose anything. On the other hand, one may perfectly follow the Varnashram, but if he is not having that element of bhakti, what does he gain? He gains nothing, like that. And then again, Krishna himself tells Uddhava in the 11th canto, Agnya evam gunan doshan mayadishtan apiswakan dharman santyajyas sarvan mambajet sattu sattama. So he says that it's not that a devotee does not know the importance of practicing the duties of Varna and Ashrama. So he knows that how a person becomes purified by practice of Varnashram and how a person accumulates sinful reactions by neglecting to perform Varnashram. Having understood both of this, he says, Dharman Santyajya, yes, Sarvan. Still he gives up all this dharma and Mam Bhajet worships me. And Krishna says, Satu Sattama, he is the best amongst all men. Right? So, and so on. So many other verses are there. Devarshi Bhutaptananam Pitranam or Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. All these verses are quoted by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the section of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, to establish that how even Vaidhi Sadhakas are not expected to perform their Varnashrama duties. So, while we saw very clear statements where the Acharyas have mentioned that there is need to practice Varnashram till one reaches the stage of Bhava, but equally emphatic presentation has been there by the Acharyas establishing how it is not needed. So, apparently the verdict is not very clear and unequivocal, right? So, and Srila Prabhupada also in one of his morning walks, like we saw Prabhupada emphasizing the importance of Varnashram. So, this is 1976 morning walk in Mayapur. So, Prabhupada says, this is a conversation, few devotees are there, but it is primarily a conversation between, this particular section of conversation is between Srila Prabhupada and Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Prabhupada says, no, ISKCON is not going to be social reformer, but as far as possible, we can help. Our main business is how to make everyone Krishna conscious. That is our business. We cannot take up, but if possible, we can take up the system of Varnashrama. He says, if possible, we can take up the process of Varnashrama. Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, if Varnashrama is neglected, then how can there be proper functioning of society? Prabhupada says, no. If the society chants Hare Krishna seriously, then it is all right. Never mind whatever is done. It doesn't matter. Papi tapi jata chilo Hariname uddarilo. This is the power of Hari Sankirtan. If one is absorbed in Krishna consciousness, so all benefit is there. So long in the bodily concept of life, we require this Varnashrama Dharma. Otherwise, there is no necessity. Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, yes. Prabhupada continues. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have read in the 8th chapter, Madhya Leela. So he quotes this conversation between Ramananda Raya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu asks, so how does the perfectional life starts? So Ramananda Raya replied, it begins with Varnashrama Dharma. Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, oh, but he rejected that. Prabhupada corrects him. He says, not rejected. Yes, it is not very important. Eho bahya. This is external. Age kaha ar. If you know something more, please speak. So Prabhupada says, so the Varnashram Dharma is a good help undoubtedly. But it is not important for Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, how could I start this movement in the Western country? There was no Varnashram Dharma, but that did not hamper my movement. Now people are surprised how these people have become such great devotees. So it was not based on Varnashrama Dharma. No, because the whole movement is spiritual. It starts from the spiritual platform, Aham Brahmasmi, Jivera Swarubhoi Krishnera Nityadas. So you see, you know, these two statements, both by Srila Prabhupada only, seem to present two contradictory points, you know. Is it needed or is it not needed? So how do we reconcile? How do we reconcile? So what is the Varnashram that devotees are supposed to reject, which Srila Rupa Goswami says, and what is it that they are supposed to embrace? Okay. Or what aspects of the Varnashram a devotee is supposed to practice and what he is supposed to reject. Okay. So, Srila Rupa Goswami, in defining pure devotional service, he says, Jnana karma di anavritam. You know, the bhakti should not be covered by jnana and karma. He certainly does not say jnana karma di shunyam. It should be free of any kind of karma. So, which means there is some karma which covers bhakti. So, what is it? We have to understand. So, now, one of the common problems when people have discussion on these topics, or any topics for that matter, where there is some apparent contradiction, the first thing that needs to be discussed is definitions. Do we share a common definition of the terminologies or the subject matter which we are talking about? Right? Because many times the terminologies have contextual meanings, meanings which change according to context. For example, Grihamedi. In general, Grihamedi does not have a derogatory meaning. Okay. For example, there is a shloka glorifying Lord Ramachandra. It says, Namas Sita Sametaya Ramaya Grihamedine. You know, it says, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Lord Ramachandra, who in the association of Mother Sita is a Grihamedi. You know. So there, Grihamedi just means a householder. It does not mean an irresponsible householder. So Grihamedi in itself does not have a negative meaning. But when used in conjunction with the word Grihastha, then it takes a negative meaning. Is Grihastha, is Grihamedi, like that. Similarly, if you see Prajalpa. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Bhaktialoka, he writes, the six Goswamis used to regularly come together and indulge in Prajalpa. Who the six Goswamis? So then he says, Prajalpa means conversations. So there is favorable Prajalpa and there is unfavorable Prajalpa. Okay. So when you use the word Prajalpa in conjunction with Krishna Katha, then that Prajalpa means gossip, mundane gossip, right? But Prajalpa in itself does not have that kind of a meaning. So, similarly, the word Varnashram has many meanings and it has many aspects. So, many times when the Acharyas use that word, they are referring to different aspects and not the same aspect. One thing we have to be very clear is Acharyas do not contradict in essential instructions of practice. When describing a particular leela, there may be different revelations to different acharyas. But when it comes to actual practice as to do's and don'ts, generally the acharyas don't contradict each other. So, and we will be able to understand only if we have this conviction that actually acharyas don't contradict. So, which means a problem is with my ability to resolve the contradiction, which generally needs some level of devotional maturity. So the onus is on us, it's not on them, right? So some of the various connotations or meanings when the word Varnashram is used. Sometimes the word Varnashram is used to just indicate a social support system. That is one meaning of Varnashram, that's what it offers. Another meaning of the word Varnashram is the value system which is connected with the functioning of this Varnashram society. The third meaning is Varnashram occupational duties. What occupation? Who has to do? Patan patan yajan yajan, dana pratigraha for brahmanas, krishi goraksha vanijyam, vaishya karma svabhavajam. So for the vaishyas, like that. And sometimes the word Varnashram refers to the Varnashram rituals, Nitya Naimittika Karmas, Tatrikala Sandhya and all those things which are recommended for different people. So it could mean any of these. So when someone says, when the Acharyas say it should be rejected, they are not telling all these four should be wholesale rejected. And when they say it has to be accepted, they don't mean to say wholesale all four needs to be accepted also. So we need to understand what needs to be accepted, what needs to be rejected for devotees, right? సో దేర్ ఫోర్ వీ నీడ్ టు హ్యావ్ అ కామన్ డెఫినేషన్. మెనీ టైమ్స్ దట్ డిస్కషన్ నెవర్ కమ్స్ అప్, నీడెడ్ ఆర్ నాట్ నీడెడ్. సో ఐ వాస్ హ్యావింగ్ వన్ కాన్వర్సేషన్ విత్ వన్ డివోటీ అండ్ హీ సెడ్ వర్ణాశ్రమ్ నీడెడ్ ఆర్ నీడెడ్, yes needed not needed, needed not needed. Then I asked, okay, what is your definition of varnashram? He says farm community. I mean, I said farm community is varnashram. So yeah, when I say varnashram, I mean farm community. I said okay, yeah, so you mean to say farm community is needed? He said yes. So I said I agree. So many times the word is used, but what they mean is totally different, you know. So let us discuss a few foundational differences between the Daivi Varnashram, which both Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Prabhupada is talking about, and the traditional Varnashram, which is practiced by those who may not have pure devotional faith. Okay. Few, depending on how much time, you know, is there, we will discuss. First thing is the pramana. So what should be the pramana which guides what is the pramana which guides the traditional varnashram, and what is the pramana which guides the Daivi Varnashram? So this is very clearly presented by our acharyas, that the pramana which guides the traditional varnashram is the dharma shastras, and the pramana which has to guide the Daivi Varnashram should be the bhakti shastras. If you see Srila Prabhupada in his Bhaktialoka purport, in his Bhaktialoka, one of his commentaries, he writes, the purport is that in 20 religious scriptures, this refers to the 20 Dharma Shastras, there are mainly instructions about Trivarga. Trivarga means Dharma, Artha, Kama. For the welfare of the Karmis, the merciful sages have composed 20 religious scriptures that are suitable for Karmis. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyate yavata matkata shravanadavva shraddhaya vanna jayate. Like that, he moves ahead. I will not dwell much into this. But the point is, very clearly he says, the praxis or the practice of Vaishnavas, including the elements of Varnashrama, should not be guided by the Dharma Shastras. It should be guided by the Bhakti Shastras. The second very foundational difference between the traditional Varnashram and the Daivi Varnashram is that the traditional Varnashram is based on false ego, but the Daivi Varnashram is based on true ego. Let me explain. But false ego is not necessarily bad. So, how the traditional Varnashram or the gradual path of elevation, how it works? A materialistic person anyway has false ego. What is his false ego? I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. The Shastras say, yes, yes, fine. You are the enjoyer, you are the controller. But you know what? You are the enjoyer as a Brahmana and as a Grihastha. So, you enjoy as the Brahmana and Grihastha. So, what the Vedic system does is give him a more clear-cut false ego. You are a Brahmana, you are a Grihastha, which are all, in one sense, bodily designations. But that false ego is not necessarily bad. You know why? Because along with that new false ego comes the duties. So you can enjoy as a Brahmana, you can enjoy as a Grihastha, but you also have duties of a Brahmana and duties of a Grihastha. So through these duties, you know, Bhagavatam calls these Vedic duties as the ropes which are used to bind the nose of the bull or the cow. So through that, it gives them specific duties. And in these duties are designed in such a way that it will satisfy the person according to his nature, but at the same time purify his heart. And gradually he will transcend the false ego and come to the level of understanding that I am not this body, I am the soul. So therefore, in order to transcend the false ego, one has to become fixed in the false ego in the traditional Vedic system, and the system of Varnashrama is for that. అండ్ ది సంస్కారాస్ యాక్చువల్లీ ఫిక్స్ దట్ ఫాల్స్ ఈగో వెరీ క్లియర్లీ. జన్మన జాయతే శూద్ర సంస్కారాత్తు భవేద్ నాట్ వైష్ణవ, సంస్కారాత్తు భవేద్ ద్విజ, రైట్? సో ద సంస్కారాస్ ఫిక్స్ దట్ గివన్ ఫాల్స్ ఈగో వెరీ క్లియర్లీ, సో దాట్ హీ విల్ బి బౌండ్ టు పర్ఫార్మ్ దోస్ డ్యూటీస్ వెరీ డిలిజెంట్లీ. సో ఎవ్రీ సంస్కార రిమైండ్స్ హిమ్, యు ఆర్ అ బ్రాహ్మణ, యు ఆర్ అ గృహస్థ, డూ యువర్ డ్యూటీస్, డూ యువర్ డ్యూటీస్. యు మే ఎంజాయ్ బట్ డూ యువర్ డ్యూటీస్. బట్ ఇన్ డూయింగ్ హిస్ డ్యూటీస్ హీ బికమ్స్ ప్యూరిఫైడ్ అండ్ ఎవెన్చువలీ ట్రాన్సెండ్స్ ద ఫాల్స్ ఈగో, రైట్? బట్ ఇన్ ది కైండ్ ఆఫ్ వర్ణాశ్రమ్ దట్ ఈస్ అక్సెప్టెడ్ ఇన్ ది ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి, వన్ బిగిన్స్ విత్ ది ఆన్ ద ప్లాట్ఫామ్ ఆఫ్ ట్రూ ఈగో. జీవేర స్వరూపోయ కృష్ణేర నిత్యదాస్, ఓకే? అండ్ దట్ లైక్ ది సంస్కారాస్ నరిష్ ది ఫాల్స్ ఈగో, ద గివన్ ఫాల్స్ ఈగో, ది లింబ్స్ ఆఫ్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ నరిష్ ది ట్రూ ఈగో. అండ్ గ్రాజువలీ హీ రైసెస్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రద్ధ, సాధుసంగ, భజన క్రియ, అనర్తన వృత్తి అండ్ సో ఆన్ టిల్ ప్రేమ, రైట్? బట్ ద ఓన్లీ ప్రాబ్లమ్ ఇస్ దాట్ ఇన్ ది ప్రాబ్లమ్ కమ్స్ ఇన్ ది ప్రాక్టీసింగ్ సాధకాస్. ఇన్ ప్రాక్టీసింగ్ సాధకాస్, యాజ్ సూన్ యాజ్ ద సీడ్ ఆఫ్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్ ఇస్ రిసీవ్డ్, దే రిసీవ్ ద ట్రూ ఈగో. బట్ జనరలీ దెర్ ఈస్ అ వెరీ స్ట్రాంగ్ inertia of past false ego which he is carrying into the realm of bhakti. So a sadhaka's position is like that. He is sitting in a train, let's say Rajdhani, which is bound from Mathura to Bombay, okay? So it is moving from Mathura to Bombay, but he wants to go to Vrindavan. So what he does, inside the Rajdhani train, he is running fast in the opposite direction towards Vrindavan. But the train itself is bound towards Mumbai. You know, this is the position of a sadhaka. So he wants to run towards Vrindavan. That is his true ego. But there is a very strong force of past false ego which he is carrying. Okay. So that is the train. So even though he is running towards Vrindavan, but the net displacement is towards Mumbai only, right? Because Rajdhani runs faster than him, right? So therefore, the problem comes when we accept our true ego, but are not very much aware and acknowledging the inertia of our past false ego which we are carrying into the realm of bhakti. So then it causes improper, immature practice and preaching, and it causes a lot of troubles. Like for example, in the previous, in the early days of ISKCON, you know, when you know this, right? Dump the load and hit the road, right? When some Matajis used to be pregnant, they say, taking care of children is important, or distributing Srila Prabhupada's books is important. You know, understand you are not this body. You know, dump the load and hit the road means abort the child and get back to distributing books. Like, this is immature application of the principles, right? Or early days, you know, as soon as someone takes up the Krishna consciousness, and then you start disobeying your parents. Parents say, oh, you are not obeying me. We are your parents. So we say, which parents, right? This body or last body? But when we get hungry, we don't ask which body, this body or last body, right? When we get hungry, it is this body, right? So, but when we have to respond to them. So this is something which happens when people neglect to sort of acknowledge the past false ego, the force of the past false ego that we are carrying into the realm of bhakti. So then it leads to all kinds of improper preaching and practice, or recommendations of or practice, trying to practice vairagya which is disproportionate to one's own growth in bhakti. భక్తి పరేషానుభవో విరక్తిర్ అన్యత్ర చేష త్రిక ఏకకాల, రైట్? సో భక్తి పరేషానుభవ అండ్ విరక్తి దే గ్రో ప్యారలలీ. సో దేర్ మస్ట్ బి ఎ రికమెండేషన్ ఆఫ్ విరక్తి విచ్ ఇస్ ప్రపోర్షనేట్ టు వన్స్ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి. సో బట్ మెనీ టైమ్స్ వెన్ దీస్ ప్రిన్సిపల్స్ ఆర్ ఇంప్రాపర్లీ అండర్స్టుడ్ యునో అండ్ ప్రాక్టీస్డ్ అండ్ ప్రీచ్డ్, దెన్ ఇట్ లీడ్స్ టు లాట్ ఆఫ్ సోషల్ ఇష్యూస్, రైట్? సో ప్రభుపాద్ వాజ్ వెరీ ఎంపథెటిక్ టువర్డ్స్ యునో, సో దట్ హీ అండర్స్టుడ్ దట్ అనర్థన వృత్తి ఇస్ గ్రాడ్యువల్. సో ఈవెన్ దో ద గోల్డ్ స్టాండర్డ్స్ ఆర్ దేర్, వితౌట్ పుల్లింగ్ డౌన్ ద గోల్డ్ స్టాండర్డ్స్, ప్రభుపాద్ వాజ్ ఎంపథెటిక్ టువర్డ్స్ గ్రాడ్యువల్ డెవలప్మెంట్. యూనో హౌ అనర్థన వృత్తి ఇస్ గ్రాడ్యువల్. సో వెన్ హీ సా శ్యామ్ సుందర్ ప్రభు స్మోకింగ్ సిగరెట్స్ వైల్ కార్వింగ్ ది జగన్నాథ్ డియటీ, హీ టోల్డ్ ఓకే యు స్మోక్ 2 packets a day, reduce it by 1, and then after a few days reduce it by 2, after a few days reduce it by 3, like that. So he gave a very practical way of gradually increasing it, like that. So therefore we have to understand that yes, we have received a new upadhi, you know, our real upadhi, Krishnera Nitya Das, but we should not act in such a way that we are certainly not oblivious to our past upadhi that we are carrying, but we should actually acknowledge what is it that we are conditioned by. Like say for example, yes, I am not an one may say that I am Krishna Das, I am not an Indian, but that does not mean you throw away your Indian passport or you give up your voting rights, or I am a servant of Krishna, I am not male or female. That does not mean that you give up your gender specific duties and roles, right? Because the very fact is you still identify with the body and you have to acknowledge it, right? On the other hand, the other possibility, the other extreme is that you take these secondary upadhis very seriously and act in ways that nourish those upadhis, right? So this leads to prejudice, okay, like that. So there must be awareness and acknowledgement of the inertia of false ego, but at the same time we should act in such a way, while we acknowledge the false ego, but we should not act in ways that it nourishes the false ego, right? So I am an Indian, so I will watch all the cricket matches that India is playing against all the countries, or I will participate in patriotic rallies and things like that. So there is one thing about acknowledging one's conditioning. There is another thing to identify with it and act in ways which will nourish the false ego. So both should be avoided. Okay. So this is one thing which is two things we have seen, difference between the traditional Varnashram and the Vedic and the Varnashram of Bhakti. First is the Pramana, Dharma Shastras and Bhakti Shastras. Second is one is based on false ego, another is based on true ego. And the third is the value system of the traditional Varnashram and the value system of Varnashram, which is Daivi Varnashram. So the traditional Varnashram is based on the value of Dharmasya Sankalpo Adharmasya Varjanam. Whatever is Dharma according to one's Varna and Ashrama, one will accept. Whatever is Adharma, one will reject. But in the case of Bhakti, it is different. Anukulyasya Sankalpo Pratikulyasya Varjanam. So acceptance of duties, occupation, everything should be based on what is anukul for bhakti, and rejection should be based on what is pratikul for bhakti. This is the meaning of what Bhakti Vinod Thakur mentioned as Varnashram should be practiced, but it should be under the full control and domination of bhakti. So what dominates? It is the value system which dominates. Okay. Like for example, Arjuna fought on the battlefield, and there were many dharmic kings who fought on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But Arjuna's fighting was on the principle of I am doing it because Krishna wants me to do, which is bhakti. Whereas the other dharmic kings, they were fighting because it was their kshatriya dharma. Dharmasya sankalpo, adharmasya varjanam. Right? But, so this is the third thing, which is the which is actually differentiating the value system. Okay. So, therefore, we need to understand in terms of actions, actions don't define whether it is bhakti or materialistic activity or varnashrama. What defines it is the value system based on which we practice those activities. Right? So, therefore, there are many activities which may be common, you know. So, in that way, getting married, you know, there are, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls them as the secondary limbs of devotional service. He divides devotional service, devotional limbs into two. Primary limbs, secondary limbs. Primary limbs are Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. Primary. What are the secondary limbs? Secondary limbs, those activities which when performed with the mood of helping the practice of the primary limbs, either for oneself or for the family or for the society, those activities fall within the category of secondary limbs. So they are secondary limbs of bhakti only. Okay. So the problem comes again, this difference between varnashram, needed, not needed, needed, not needed. Another main problem why such kind of contradictions are perceived is because of incomplete understanding of what is the complete scope of bhakti. Is bhakti only Shravan Kirtan? Or is the scope of bhakti larger than that? So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes it bigger and he calls it secondary limbs of devotional service only. Right? This is the third difference. Fourth difference. For a person practicing the traditional varnashram, if he fails to perform his varnashram duties, it is he accumulates sinful karma. Right? Evam pravartitam chakram nanu vartayati hayaha agayur indriyaramo mogam parthas jivati. Krishna says that if one does not follow the system of sacrifices, annat bhavanti bhutani parjanya danna sambhava and so on, right? So if one does not follow this, he will get sinful reactions. But for a devotee, there is no sin. There is no papa karma for that. If he is not performing some secondary limb of devotional service, even though it may be favorable, it will affect his progress in devotional service, but it will not give him any sinful reaction. Right? This is the fourth difference. The fifth difference is that in the varnashram, the traditional varnashram rules are very strict. A brahmana has to perform his own occupational duty only, not someone else's duty. If he performs someone else's duty, sinful reaction. Shreyan swadharmo viguna paradharmo sonushtitat. Swadharme hi nidanam shreyah paradharmo bayavah. So if one, paradharma is one type of sinful act, actually. Chala dharma, koota dharma, paradharma. You know, in 7th canto, Narada Muni talks to Yudhishthir Maharaj about this. So paradharma is taken very seriously. Better incompletely perform your own dharma than to perfectly perform someone else's dharma, he says. So, but in for devotional service, even though it may be favorable to perform a profession which is according to one's nature is favorable, but if one does not do that, he will not get sinful reaction for that. This is the fifth difference. And the sixth difference is that the traditional varnashram duties are performed for purification of heart. Purification of the anarthas within the heart. The influence of rajogun, tamogun, etc. But in our varnashram, even though we may accept a social setup like that, but still that purification comes from practice of bhakti and it does not come from practicing this. Of course, that practice of bhakti includes the secondary limbs also. Okay. So if you want to see that as varnashram, You can see it as Varnashram. But if you want to see it as the secondary limbs of bhakti, the secondary limbs of bhakti. So this is the sixth difference. Yeah, sixth difference. So then, anyways, I will just summarize. It's already time. I have one or two more points, but that's fine. I will just, in conclusion, I will summarize in 2 minutes. Okay. So what is it that we have essentially understood in the last 40 odd minutes? So, first thing, the social setup aspect of Varnashram is favorable for bhakti. We don't necessarily blindly reject it. Okay. Second, but we accept those things based on the consideration of bhakti shastras and not dharma shastras. Third, we don't necessarily essentially accept the value system of Varnashram, but we apply some of those activities we may perform based on the principles of the pure devotional value system, which is Anukulyasa Sankalpa Pratikulyasa Varjanam. And occupational duties, we accept them as being favorable to bhakti. We don't necessarily reject. Okay, if that occupation is favorable for our practice of bhakti also, we don't just reject it because it is based on the considerations of Varnashram. But we are accepting it based on the considerations of bhakti. And the rituals, specific rituals which a brahmana has to perform, you know, this yagya, that yagya, and all that, we may not accept those kind of yagyas. But still, we may accept those in some cases where it does not challenge our true ego, or at other times for the purpose of loka sangraha, setting the right example for other people, we may accept. But even when we are accepting it for loka sangraha purposes or for any other purposes, whether in accepting or rejecting, we should ensure that it does not enhance our false ego and nourish our material prejudices. In such a way, we have to accept. And then we also saw, in trying to act on the platform of true ego, we should be careful about insensitive application of the principles of pure devotion, which can potentially cause havoc socially. And also we saw, act on the platform of true ego while acknowledging and by being aware of the inertia of the false ego that we are carrying into the realm of bhakti. And next thing, even though not directly helpful, we may sometimes accept some aspects of Varnashram system for loka sangraha purpose, for the purpose of setting the right example for people. But in accepting those practices, we practice those practices with detachment, not with attachment. And limbs of Varnashrama, when accepted in the mood of Anukulyasa Sankalpo, are considered to be secondary limbs of bhakti only. Then we saw, one should try to understand the full scope of bhakti in both its primary limbs and secondary limbs. And do not neglect the secondary limbs thinking that they are external. Eho Bahya. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.